So we're looking at the 8 verses for training the mind. I hope you've all got a sight of them. And we've looked at the first 3 verses. I'll just briefly recapitulate. May I always cherish all beings, is the basic statement of the whole text, with the resolve to accomplish for them the highest goal that is more precious than any wish-fulfilling jewel. So beings always act in what they consider to be their own best interests. They're doing what they do in order to achieve what they think will give them the greatest fulfillment, fulfill their aspirations, their values, their needs. But they don't know their needs, they don't know their values, the highest value, where their best interests lie. So when you're cherishing beings, you're cherishing them, perceiving what is their deepest interest, their highest fulfillment. And you're making a resolve to help them to accomplish that highest resolve. So that's the essential statement of the text. And everything that comes after is really the fulfillment of this. So as a sort of daily practice, I suggested that this means we're continually coming back to one's aspiration to help others, continually trying to remember that others are acting in a way that they think will fulfill their own best interests, trying to remain in contact with the fact that this is what they're doing. They're not merely placed on this earth in order to frustrate and harm you, as we sometimes think. Even if they do frustrate and harm you, it's because they believe that that will fulfill their greatest interests. So you're constantly trying to identify with others as being like you, motivated to achieve the greatest degree of personal fulfillment, to put it in that way. But you, trying to understand that, help them in whatever way you can to fulfill that highest interest. So then the second verse, whenever I am in the company of others, may I regard myself as inferior to all, and from the depths of my heart cherish others as supreme. So we saw that the first verse is really concerned with overcoming, working with and transcending one's tendency to self-cherishing, to putting oneself first and foremost, trying to extend that to include others. In the second verse, you're trying to overcome the tendency that's summed up in the Atma Klesha of Atma Mana, pride in self, putting yourself as number one, seeing others only in relation to yourself. You're trying to overcome that with a straightforward reversal by putting others first. And you're doing that as a systematic practice. Whenever you're in the company of others, regarding yourself as inferior to all, not sort of psychologically inferior, not having an inferiority complex, you could say, but thinking of yourself as there to serve the interests of others rather than as others there to serve your interests. So this is a practice that is being recommended in order to overcome that fundamental identification of oneself as the most important element in the universe. Then thirdly, in all my actions may I watch my mind, and as soon as disturbing emotions arise, kleshas, may I forcefully stop them at once, since they will hurt both me and others. So you're watching your mind. This is just the practice of mindfulness, chittanu smriti, and you're watching especially to see kleshas arising. And we saw on Friday that kleshas are a sort of complex of volitional, emotional and cognitive factors. So there's a perspective, a view of the world implicit in any klesha. There's a feeling tone to it, and there's also a volition, there's an urge. And the characteristic of kleshas is they are disturbing. They afflict the mind. So that when they're in your mind, if you're attentive, you'll notice this sort of disturbing, afflictive character. And that's what you're watching for. Which implies, of course, having some degree of calmness so that you notice when the storms arise. So you're trying to achieve a constant flow of mindfulness, which is calm and steady, against the background of which you're able to notice when kleshas float into the mind, because you notice the warning sign of that disturbance. And as a consequence of that, well, you're able to deal with them. The text says stop them forcefully at once, but I suggested that this might be a bit misleading if taken literally and not sort of analysed a bit more. Because stopping them forcefully at once can simply mean repression. And that doesn't work, because they'll pop up again in another way later on. But what I think you need to do, if you're not working at a very fine level of mindfulness, is to try to understand what's going on behind the klesha. What is it that's frustrated? What is it that's not fulfilled, that the klesha is a sort of initial response to? So you need to sort of sink back beneath the level of the klesha to the feeling that underlies it, and from the feeling to the what it is that's unsatisfied, what it is that's not being fulfilled, and try to fulfill that in a healthy way. So we've got, first of all,